This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, powering through what is a brutal, rude awakening back to Kansas City this week. Snow, by the way, can we just say this? I'm not mad about it. I'm not upset about it. Kind of oversold the snow.
I think they did, which was good. I'm glad it didn't get what we thought we were going to get. I thought that yesterday driving home when I could still see the grass out there.
Mm.
But they hit it the last time, right? Like, they knocked it out of the park the last time, and so they tried again, and it didn't happen. That's fine. It's good. It's good it didn't get as much as we thought it was going to get around here, because now we can get out and drive around. The roads look great. Everybody should be back to the real world today and moving forward. So congratulations to the snowplows. You did another great job.
Yeah, terrific job. I will say this morning was a little hectic because I didn't know what was, like, slick, what was, like, just, I don't know, the glare of the light into the street. I don't know. It was kind of trippy this morning. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know if I was going over black ice.
Yeah. We got to take it slow. It was cold.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised it's not more black ice than water out there with 11 degrees or whatever it was on the thermometer driving in. I thought 11. It was all black ice. Yeah. I had 11 degrees driving in today. What did you have?
5.
Oh, yeah, wow. 6. Wow. Yeah, okay. Wow.
I don't know.
Well, it's warmer in Kansas, so, you know, that's why the Chiefs and Royals are going to move there, I guess.
I don't want them to move. I don't really care.
What do you care what side of the state line they're on? Either you're going to pay for it or I'm going to pay for it. So,
yeah, I mean,
that's what I don't understand about the Missouri people. I don't want it to move, but you don't have to pay for it anymore. Kansas should pay for it. Okay, Kansas wants to pay for it. I don't want them to move. Okay, pick a side.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I don't ever notice it, but I did notice that today was National Cheddar Day.
Oh, it is.
That's right, man.
Did Binkley call you last night?
No, I just had some time to do some things while we were setting up the Zooms and stuff like that. So National Cheddar Day, grilled cheese would be buttered bread without a multiple slices piled high. Burgers would be lackluster without a perfect ooze. Mac and cheese would just be, well, Mac, to be frank.
Mac's awesome.
So many of our iconic American dishes simply wouldn't be the same without a slice of cheddar's deliciousness.
Mm-hmm. How about apple pie? You ever have apple pie with a slice of cheddar on top?
I believe that's called, like, a la mode.
No, it's not. That's ice cream on top of pie. Yeah, apple pie with cheddar cheese is like a Vermont staple. They eat that up. I've never had it. I've seen pictures.
That's weird.
And it sounds weird, but it's probably very good.
Yeah,
you know, people put these combinations together, and you're like, that just doesn't sound real good, but apparently it is, and people eat cheddar cheese, a big slice of cheddar from Vermont on top of that apple pie.
Apple pie, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Apple pie.
I'll try that. It's
now,
my favorite pie.
On coconut cream pie, it probably doesn't work, or maybe like a chocolate, you know, one of those French silk type pies.
Yeah,
probably
going
to stay away from the cheddar on that
cheese
one. But the
chocolate,
apple pie, that's what people like, so try it sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Let me know how it is.
Yeah. I'll be the guinea pig for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, it takes the sweetness and, like, the sharpness of the cheddar and they kind of meet so you don't have like one overpowering the other. It's
I can see it.
Supposed to be a blend of both.
I guess. People eat cheese and apples, you know, at times, like a charcuterie board or something like that. So it's probably a great combination. It's just not one that anybody would ever think of. And so I like cheddar on a burger, you know, every once in a while.
Oh,
I think it's pretty good on a burger. So, yeah, happy cheddar day. I'm sure Binkley is celebrating. Usually he texts me the night before tomorrow's National Cheddar Day. he didn't text me today or yesterday about National Cheddar Day. Come on, Jay.
The tradition of pairing apple pie with cheese originated in England.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like the worst food country? That's what widely
England?
I see. Yeah, I see England has like the worst food. Obviously, I've never been out of the country.
They got bangers and mash.
What's that? Is that
sausage and potatoes?
Oh, okay.
It's good. All right. I mean, look up English breakfast and tell me if like you would eat that on a daily basis.
It's like beans on bread.
Beans on bread and like, you know, I don't know. No, like, it's all right. Fried fish, I guess they have. You can get there, you know,
fish and chips
and that kind of stuff, which isn't fantastic. It's fine. It's whatever it is. But I don't think anybody's saying, my gosh, that English food is something I need to get my hands on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Crumpets and tea. Cucumber sandwiches. It's a tough life over there.
I mean, you don't see anybody have restaurants that, like, you go to an Italian restaurant, you go to a French restaurant. When was the last time you saw, like, a British restaurant,
exactly.
Right? Like, an English restaurant or, you know, something of that nature.
I mean, fantastic tea, but that's not going to fill you up.
No, it's not. And
you know, breakfast with beans, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Beans and, like, you know, dried up ham and stuff. It's, you know, it is what it is. They do their thing over there, right?
It's also Galentine's Day today.
Yes.
We talked about that yesterday.
Are you celebrating?
I can't. I'm not able to do so.
Oh, all right.
It's
illegal.
It's not illegal, but it's you know. I mean, I guess I could if I wanted to, but the ladies do it. It's started from Parks and Recs, as Mac had said that Amy Poehler's character is the one who started it. Leslie from Parks and Recs.
Very, very Leslie thing to do.
Very much so. Like, isn't it cool that like a TV show kind of created a holiday, kind of people picked up on it? Shows you the impact that some of these shows used to have, you know, back in the day that we don't really get anymore because not everybody is glued to network television. Like Parks and Rec was on. Everybody was there. Seinfeld, Friends, all that kind of stuff over the years. You know, Festivus was created, obviously, because of Seinfeld and whatnot. But you just don't have the network sitcom anymore that everybody's watching and paying attention to. And, you know, you got stuff on Netflix that everybody watches and whatnot, but you watch it at your leisure. It's not like right there where everybody's in it together.
We're all caught up together.
Did you see Parks and Rec last night? Oh my gosh, they have a new holiday or whatever the case may be.
Just remember that Galentine's Day was born out of rebel spirit, intended as a rebuff to the conventions of Valentine's Day. It's about doing exactly what you want to do and feeling thankful for having friends that let you do you and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
there we go.
Hashtag Galentine's Day.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything about women, though.
That's
like a description where everybody can kind of join the party, right?
Let me in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if you're out there celebrating your rebel spirit during Valentine's Day. I mean, it's up to you. If you're out there like chocolate and champagne, then, you know, but again, I'm not going to judge. I'm going to let you go out there and get those little cherries with that weird colored ooze in the middle.
I kind of like those. I'm not going to lie. Those chocolate covered cherries you bite in and it kind of oozes out a little. Those are really good.
Something about that ooze.
I like that, man. They're fantastically delicious. I think they're called chocolate covered cherries with ooze.
Yeah, I'm going to go against it.
I think they are. I think they're actually just chocolate covered cherries, right? I mean, you get those and you bite into them and they feel like you're rich and you got money. Like that's a candy you wouldn't have as a kid. And then, as an adult, you get these chocolate covered cherries with stuff in the middle. That's kind of neat. And a champagne flute. And then on Saturday is the 15th. You got Galentine's, then you got Valentine's, and then you got on the 15th, Look for Love Day. That's when you can start dating. That's when you can start being on the hunt, if you will, and start to find your mate. Because after Valentine's Day, now you're scot-free basically till Christmas. You don't have to worry about any of the gifts and all that kind of stuff or bad times to break up. Beginning on Saturday, that's the time to get invested into a relationship. Mac, if you're interested, I don't know. But that's the time you start looking for love, because between Valentine's Day and like what holiday comes up that's like a gift-giving holiday, maybe May Day or something like that. My wife got me flowers our first day of May.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
Other than that, not a whole heck of a lot of holidays that you have to worry about. So this is the time when people will start dating. They'll start looking for love in all the wrong places, right? And so you go out there, you find your love on February 15th. You got basically a whole calendar year to go before you have to buy any gift.
What time did you family or do any of that?
What time did you start dating your wife?
January 22nd. 20th. Yeah, yeah. Great timing. It was terrible. I'm not going to lie.
Here's
was,
what you do, Mac. You do right, all this yeah, stuff, exactly. all this. And when did you do it? The complete opposite.
Yeah. But I will say it was the most awkward first Valentine's Day that we ever had, because we started dating on like January 20th, kind of went out on our first date. Then I was gone to the Super Bowl for 8 days or whatever it was. Then I come back. Maybe we went out once. And then it's Valentine's Day. And I'm like, God, am I supposed to ask her out? Is it untold? Told, what do we do? Nothing. What do I do in this situation? So like 2 o'clock on Valentine's Day afternoon, I called, I think at the time, or maybe it was text at the time, and said, hey, do you want to go to dinner tonight? Because it was such an awkward, awkward spot. And she said yes. And we went to went over in Westport. And I told her, I said, if you would have said no, I probably wouldn't have called again. But again, like it was just such an awkward time to start dating somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know what to do at that point in time. So that's why I say that you learn from advice. Just because I did something doesn't mean it's right, right? So I'm trying to dispel that advice. You don't start dating somebody like from Valentine's Day to, or from Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day. Learn from me, because it really was. It was awkward. Like, if she didn't say yes, I don't know where I am today, you know? So it was a big deal, and it's an awkward situation. So just wait till Saturday if you want to ask somebody out.
Queen Anne's Cordial Cherries. That's the that's the brand you're looking for.
Is that the brand
Queen Anne?
Yeah.
Yep. Red box, brown bow tie, 4 pictures of chocolate covered cherries. One of them cut in half.
There it is. How many come in a box?
30.
30 for how much?
$7.99 at Walmart.
No way. Really? That's it? I thought you were going to say like $60, like $2 a cherry or something like that.
With chocolate on it?
Yeah. You get the chocolate, you get the cherry, you get the ooze all for $7.99. I like it.
It's one of those things like when you bite into half it, like it's chinning it, dude. Like it's going all the way down.
Of course it is. Yeah. You're wiping it off.
Yeah. You're getting grossed out. So happy Cheddar Day, National Cheddar Day, and Galentine's Day. So. Ladies, go celebrate yourself today with your ladies, you know? Or dudes, if you want to go celebrate your dudes. You guys do that like every Saturday anyway. So just, you know, let them do the pop-up thing. You know, have a night. Because Saturday, I'm going to gamble. I'm going to stay up a little later than I probably should. Sunday, might do the same thing, because Monday, I'm not going to work. By the way, we're off Monday. I ain't done. So stay warm. But coming up on the other side of this, I think we all make takes that we don't really solidify ourselves to believe. But this guy that made this take yesterday, I'll tell you what, man. I don't know if I've ever heard anything worse. And when I saw Fesco's text that this guy might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen, I'm like, well, what is it? Somebody telling you to put cheese on your apple pie? No, it's much, much, much worse. We'll dive into what this guy had to say yesterday on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan.
Driving right on through 617 on your Thursday morning. Hard to believe it's already Thursday. Loving that. Love that it's already Thursday. It feels like we were in Louisiana like a month ago already.
Yeah, like it, really it was does. Like a month for 8 days in Louisiana, right?
Yeah. Like I'm caught up. I'm back into the normal swing of things. Like,
oh yeah, it's not. I'm just like the weather though is the one that's kind of bothering me. I'm snotting again for a whole week. I didn't have any like drip and all that kind of stuff. I did. Yeah. I have to. Yeah, I went for 8 days without navaging it, and now we're back, and all the stuff is just, you know, clogged in my face again because of how cold it is. So yeah, I got to get that navage back out there.
Need to take a hot bath with Epsom salt.
Oh, it's the best. The hot shower with those bath bombs, those shower bombs with like eucalyptus or lavender and all that kind of stuff clean you out. That's why I can't wait to go to the J after work today, sit in the steam room a little bit and kind of drain all of that nonsense out of you. So that's on the agenda. Oh, it's the best, man. Just clean yourself out. My God.
It just drain. This guy drained a take about Andy Reid. I'll let you guys listen, even though I'm sure you've already heard it.
Andy Reid should step down as head coach. And you're going to be like, they just went to the Super Bowl 3 times, Andy Reid, blah, 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 blah. This is not a one-game reaction because they lost.
Did he say what I think he said at the beginning?
Andy Reid should step down as head coach.
Okay.
And you're going to be like, they just went to the Super Bowl 3 times, Andy Reid, blah, 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 blah. This is not a one-game reaction because they lost in the Super Bowl and they got boat raced and it was 40-6. Where were the adjustments? Where was the game plan? I'm not a football coach.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
Guys who are football coaches and questioned the game plan. No running game, to start at all, and then you get behind, you got to pass. This is what he did in Philadelphia all the time, pass happy, always throwing the ball. They got tired of that in Philadelphia. Number two, this fall off the cliff is 2 years in the making. Last year, they won the Super Bowl, so it kind of covered up how bad things were. You remember with the receivers struggles and Patrick Mahomes. Here's another year. Andy Reid is supposed to be an offensive genius. Why is Patrick Mahomes struggling so much when you can't figure out a way to get him off and to get him to be not 50 touchdowns and throwing every ball downfield, but way better? Can you admit that Patrick Mahomes hasn't been the same quarterback the last 2 years? Andy Reid is supposed to be that guy, and yet we haven't seen it. It's been a nice run. The last 2 years have been disappointing, regular seasons. Yes, they went to the Super Bowl. Yes, both those times. And yeah, I'm not talking about the last 2 years. And this year, they got embarrassed.
There you go.
You just embarrassed yourself, pal. Who is that? Rob Parker of Fox Sports Radio?
Rob Parker.
Rob Parker.
Ron's dad.
Ron's dad is it? Yeah.
Remember that cheese plate?
Oh, I remember Ron Parker.
Remember him. Yeah. Ron Parker?
Yeah, Ron. Oh, yeah. I remember old Ron Parker. He was
you ever get cooked on defense?
Yeah, that guy just got cooked with a sports take. I mean, like, what do I add to that, right? Like, I just texted you guys two words, effing moron. And that's really the only way to kind of sum it up. I feel bad for guys like that who are kind of nondescript media guys that have to go and give takes like Andy Reid should retire and then proceedingly talk about this Chiefs team like he's never watched a game. I'm going to bet that Ron Parker probably never watched one full regular season game of the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 3 years. He sat and watched Red Zone. He got his highlights from ESPN. And then he gathered his information by what, you know, people are saying from the talking head world about this Kansas City Chiefs team. Andy Reid is a genius. And the last 5 years has proven that Andy Reid is a genius because of how they've had to reinvent the offense every single year because of injury or lack of production or things that change over time. Andy Reid is constantly evolving and changing this offense and doing things to try to figure out ways to make this offense better. The man went to three straight Super Bowls, and that Jackassian comment right there that, well, they went to the Super Bowl, it covered up what was going wrong because they won the Super Bowl. Yeah, winning the Super Bowl pretty much does cover up everything. Nobody focuses on things that are going wrong because you were the champions of the world. And so this guy, Rob Parker from Fox Sports Radio, arguably the dumbest take that I've heard probably in the last 25 years. And I don't know, and I'm not being hyperbolic here. I can't think of anything more ignorant, ridiculous, and stupid that's ever been uttered than what this Ron Parker guy said at Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, I mean, look, blowout losses in big games tend to cause a not necessarily like a negative rift in sports media, but interesting ones, because since this blowout loss, which, again, congratulations to the Eagles. Like, you won the Super Bowl.
You won.
But, like, they lost the three-peat, which is massive.
Yeah.
Which is beyond what you could have possibly imagined if it were to happen. Like, beyond. It's never happened in the NFL for a reason, because it's just insanely hard to do. It's a three-leg parlay that you're never ever going to land. And because of how the NFL just evolves in current times. Now, the best time that you could have three-peated was when Dallas and Pittsburgh and San Francisco were doing it.
Yeah, when it was a lot easier back in the day. Yeah.
And nowadays, the talent at quarterback and the talent that gets, you know, brought up in waves, like, for instance, for a while it was running backs, and then it was receivers, and then it was quarterbacks, and then it'll be defensive ends, and then it'll be, you know, the draft. Watch how the draft fluctuates. Like Binkley was talking yesterday, there were, what, eight tackles and guards, or eight line, maybe it was eight guards last year taken in the draft. It's an all-time record.
Mm-hmm.
This year he said there might be six.
Right.
And then, you know, there'll be 1 year where the Chiefs fortunately finally get to pick number one overall, and they have to take Eric Fisher.
Right.
And then the next year somebody will get the first overall pick, and it's Josh Allen or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And the way the NFL works, it's just, it's insanely tough. It's just like when Brady and the Patriots were going to go undefeated, and then they didn't go undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that loss was more catastrophic because A, they lost in the Super Bowl to a team that they were better than. I think we can all agree they're the best team in football. And then two, the undefeated season's over. Like, it's just, and there's no championship. It's not like you lost it in week 16 or you lost it in week 11. You lost it in the Super Bowl. And then everybody's like, well, Brady's 30. Like, you know, they've cheated in the past. Like, will the band stay together? And then the Chiefs lose this Super Bowl. They lose a three-peat. They get blown out again in a Super Bowl. And it's clearly one-sided as to why they got blown out. It was just like their offensive line was bad. And Patrick Mahomes had to do things that he couldn't do and try to do it. So it made him look like he had a really, really bad game, which he did not have a good game. Might have been his worst game of his entire career.
There's no doubt.
Full
game. Yeah.
And part of that is because of what had fallen apart. A lot of that can be adjusted, but a lot of that is, like we had mentioned before, it's like a fight. Like, you can, you know, put the hot iron to the eye. You can put the goop and the Vaseline over the cut. Like, that's going to protect it temporarily, but all it's going to take is another good hit to that, and it's opened up and it's exposed. And that's exactly what happened to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And, like, you can give Andy Reid all the trouble you want. 15-2 in the regular season, 11-6 the year before, still went to three straight Super Bowls, won two of them. And to have a take like that, like, is astronomically terrible to think that he should retire and that the team has fallen off a cliff because they got outmatched in one game.
In one
that
game.
So happened to be the most popular game.
And the one game that guy watched, too.
Right. So, yes, you can have your takes of, like, does Mahomes need to change the way he plays quarterback after what we saw with what is seems to be his kryptonite, which is an athletic front, which I'd love to see any quarterback survive that. And, I mean, Matthew Stafford barely did.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels didn't. And then Mahomes didn't.
They had a great defensive front that was very much like the defensive front that got after Tom Brady in that Super Bowl when the Patriots were going for that 17-0 mark, right?
And it's just one of those things. So, like, to say that take about Andy Reid is egregiously dumb.
Yeah.
To say that Andy Reid now has more competition coaching-wise because people have found their niche, that's fine. To say that, like, hey, Nick Sirianni should be getting more respect because he went toe-to-toe with the great one and he was absolutely flawless. Okay,
fine.
That might be egregious, but it merits it after that game that you saw. To say that you need to step down and that you've fallen off a cliff, check yourself.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, it's just one of the more ridiculous statements that I've ever heard in anything, and I'm not even including sports. And there's a lot of dumb things that get said every day, right? Mm-hmm. That guy right there is absolutely ignorant. And I look back and I wonder to myself, who handles losses worse, the media when the Chiefs lose or the Chiefs when they lose? Because the Chiefs did not handle themselves great on Sunday during that loss. There was a lot of pouting going on, as there should have been. They were getting their asses handed to them on national TV in the Super Bowl. But then you see the reaction of the media after the game. I mean, it really is like the on to Cincinnati moment for the New England Patriots after they lost here the day before the wild card game in 2014. And people were writing Tom Brady off. We're quick to bring somebody to the top. We're quick to celebrate people. And we're very quick, if not quicker, to try to knock them down a peg. And people were waiting with their bated breath for Patrick Mahomes to have that moment where he did not win in the Super Bowl and where Andy Reid did not win in the Super Bowl, where they could come off the top rope and pile drive the Chiefs into the ground because they've been waiting to have, you know, these dumb takes. And it just hasn't lent itself to that because all they do is win, 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 as the song likes to go. They lost in the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean they're a dead dynasty. It doesn't mean this franchise is over. It doesn't mean contraction. It doesn't mean Andy Reid should be fired or retire. It doesn't mean they should trade Patrick Mahomes. that comment right there, I mean, yes, we're going to see some changes this offseason. We talked a lot about it yesterday. But that comment right there is part of the reason why people don't like sports media, right? Like he is a bad look for our industry. And I do take that a little bit personal because we walk around all the time. And I don't think for the most part, every once in a while, maybe we have a take that somebody doesn't agree with. But I think we work hard enough where we're not out there hot taking it like this guy is to gain national attention and whatnot. And then when guys like that go out there and I have to hear about, oh, the sports radio this and sports radio that, it's a direct reflection on my profession. And so when guys are out there not doing their homework and uttering dumb stuff, I do take it personal. And Ron Parker with Fox Sports Radio or whoever he's with these days, this guy just is absolutely setting the industry back. And I think it does suck because there's a lot of people in this industry, a lot that we got in contact with over the last week down in New Orleans who work their ass off, who put together good shows, who don't sit there and say dumb things and hope to be noticed on social media. And so that's where Ron Parker falls into this category for me. Ignorant, ignorant, ignorant. And there's no other way to put it. And it's an insult to this profession that I know nobody respects because of guys like him.
Yeah, just, you know, see your way out, sir. And come back whenever you have something that makes a little bit more sense.
Did he have a solution? Because after that comment, I couldn't listen much longer to what he said. Did he lay out his solution for who should replace Andy Reid? How they should go about fixing this team, which moves they need to make or anything like that? Probably not, because that would require effort and work and homework and the ability to find out who could potentially come in here and be better than Andy Reid. It's easier just to say nonsensical stuff on the radio like Ron Parker did.
You think Belichick would coach the Chiefs?
Just kidding.
Yes, I think he would.
For sure.
I think he'd leave North Carolina tomorrow. Hey, Bill, how'd you like to coach the Chiefs? Sweet.
He had Patrick Mahomes for 10 more years.
Yeah. Belichick, like in a wheelchair, eating tapioca in his 80s, ringing the bell, trying to coach, you know, Patrick Mahomes. That'd be awesome.
So someone on the text line alludes to this, that it's baseball season, boys. Yep, that's what we do.
Yep.
We teeter-totter from football to baseball because that's what we get to do nowadays, because that's what the season calls for. And you said that you would do this trade in a heartbeat?
I would, yeah. I like Cedric Mullins a lot, man.
Why?
A one-for-one swap, Cedric Mullins for Hunter Harvey, I'd do that in a minute. I would have no problem doing that. We have no outfield right now, and we need bats. And so anytime you have the opportunity to get a good bat, I would go out there and do it. I like Cedric Mullins a lot. I think he's a good player. He's better than anybody that's in the outfield right now. For this organization, you went out and you added to the bullpen. You've got some arms back there. You might as well, you know, try to go out there and make a big splash. And it's not anything that's really truly being considered. You know, one of these websites, SB Nation, kind of proposed this trade. And I like it, man. You always have to try to get better. And I think Cedric Mullins makes your outfield better than what you have right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. This is a move that I don't like because the only good year he's had is in 2021. Ever since then, he's been about a 230-225 hitter. That's the Royals outfield bat we've always had. We've always had that outfield bat. That's essentially MJ Melendez.
Mm-hmm.
230-25 home runs. That's what this guy does. His slash line isn't that great. It's Hunter Harvey, I think, gives you a better chance at winning than this guy does because pitching is more important than bats. If this guy was Traxxon Profar, then yes, I would do that in a heartbeat. Cedric Mullins is a nobody. In fact, he's getting pushed out because the Baltimore Orioles just have a great general manager that knows how to draft and develop players in their system. So that's basically the root of this article was saying that, like, he's getting pushed out because he's facing his arbitration year this year, and they don't want to sign him because he had one year where he hit 30 home runs and actually hit above his weight. Every year since then, he's hit, like, 230, maybe 240 was his highest after that, but he's just, if it was somebody that like moved the needle, then I'm okay. And if you're going to, and I get it, this guy's going to, he's nobody so far either, but Joey Weimer's the other guy they got in the trade that they sent Brady Singer to the Reds for.
Right.
When they got India, they also got this Weimer guy, which a lot of people are like, well, maybe he could be like the Wade Davis in the James Shields trade.
Man.
I wouldn't get your hopes up. He's an outfielder that's like, basically been in the league for 2 years. It just was kind of like a package deal. But again, we go back to your point yesterday about the Royals and trades and why people shouldn't be handcuffed to certain players.
Yeah.
I do think, and I know this is a wild assumption,
but
I think there's a really good possibility Jack Caglione makes the roster and makes a major league debut, makes his debut this year.
Yeah, I don't think that's a chance at all.
This year?
Yeah.
You don't think
he
makes his debut at all this year?
I don't think so. I think they slow play it, let him get an entire year under his belt before we rush him up to the big league level. Now, I could be totally wrong. Like, he could light the world on fire like Paul Skeens did, and then all of a sudden you see him up here. But
the thing is, he's not a 17-year-old kid.
Right.
He played college ball.
Right.
He knows how to play the sport. Paul Skeens also wasn't a high school kid. He played college ball.
Also very rare that you see a guy immediately get
for
up
sure.
to the big leagues because for financial reasons, obviously,
yeah.
You keep all these guys
but
down.
But the way the game is moving, it is a young man's sport. And you talk about guys like Bobby Witt Jr., Ailey De La Cruz, Tatis Jr., All those guys, like that
Acuna.
Was that, yeah, that was the wave, and that continues to be the wave.
Could you imagine a Royals team with Acuna and Bobby Witt?
Because
it could have happened. No, it would. It, like
he's Escobar's cousin.
Yeah, if the Royals were right there, and then at the end, Atlanta came in and gave him money. And I talked to somebody yesterday. I said, if you guys did get Acuna, would you have drafted Bobby Witt? And the answer was, yeah. This is, you know, some old folks. It was like, yeah, we would have absolutely drafted Bobby. Could you imagine Acuna and Bobby Witt in this lineup together? Oh my God.
Yeah, it'd be insane. Ugh. You'd have short side. The left side of your field, you wouldn't need out. You wouldn't even need an
outfield.
We
wouldn't have this conversation right now, yeah.
But I think Caglione can make the roster this year. And I think there's two reasons why. One, he's played college ball and he fits the trend of current major league players. Two, if you are so low-strapped in outfield talent and this kid is doing stuff that just is better than what we've seen so far in the major league level, then I don't know why you wouldn't bring him up. Because if you are serious about this team and you think that they do have a chance to make a move this year, even more so than they did last year, then let this kid be part of that roster. If he does have that power and he has that arm, you have right field sealed. Your left fielder is going to be MJ Melendez until otherwise notified. And then center field is
Bono,
you know, Isbell, wherever you want to go, right? That's, you know, the Bono reference there.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do what you always say, Bob Fesco, and that is if you don't think Caglione's going to make the roster this year and you don't think he's going to play, then you go get your haul for that.
Yeah, but I also think...
Because that's your Will Myers trade.
He definitely is. Yeah, you don't have a lot of those guys in the system right now. I think it's him and that the catcher that they have down there right now. Carter Jensen, is that the kid's name?
Caglione's a top five prospect in baseball. Yeah, he's the number one prospect in the Royals organization.
And
he's Will Myers.
Yeah, oh yeah. And if you could trade him and get proven guys back in return, 100% I'm in on doing that. I have no problem, you know, flipping Jack Caglione if it means you get proven Major League Baseball players back in return. Absolutely. I just think at this point in time, you're probably not going to get a great haul back for anybody because most of Major League Baseball is skittish on trading right now. Like, I know for a fact JJ would like to be wheeling and dealing, right? He'd like to go out there and be that blackjack dealer and do all that. There's not a lot of teams in baseball right now that want to trade. And it's kind of been a trickle-down effect that we've seen over the last 5 to 10 years where analytics have taken over the game, the scouts have taken over the game. And I've heard from numerous people in baseball that, look, a lot of these general managers are afraid to make moves because they don't want to get the blowback that comes from the social media and all the minor league dorks that are out there right now. So there's not a lot of trading. Not like when we were kids growing up in major.
That's sad if that's
no,
true.
No, I know, but when you that's hear that sad. From people who work in baseball and that's what the word
they're
is
worried
on
about somebody
they
tweeting are, that it was a bad
absolutely
move.
They are worried about
then
all
we're
of that
as a society though.
Well, I don't disagree with that. That's another story for another day.
I mean,
but I have heard from people in front offices in baseball that there a lot of these young guard GMs do not want to make moves. They all want to hoard their prospects and they don't want to hear the social blowback from trading minor leaguers, which is absolutely ridiculous, and that's why it's so hard right now for a guy like JJ Piccolo, who's willing to go out there and make moves and to make trades to make those moves, because the majority of teams in baseball just don't want to trade their players right now. And if you trade Jack Caglione, you get two great players back in return. You go on to win a World Series, and Jack Caglione goes on to have a great career. So what? You still went on and won a World Series, and that's ultimately what it's about. So I don't hate that idea. I don't hate bringing him up either. I'd love to see it. But in like baseball, just for whatever reason, at 22, you can play in the NFL. At 18, you can play in the NBA. But God forbid we bring a Major League Baseball player up who hasn't had 6 years in the minors. You know, and that's in where baseball, I think, has their biggest disconnect from their fans, because all these other sports have these drafts. You bring these young players, you see them right away. Baseball has drafts. You forget about all these players. And then 6 years later, they bring these guys up. You're like, oh, yeah, they drafted that guy back in '05. You know, it's like it's crazy how baseball works. I'm not against bringing Jack Caglione up. I'd love to see him on the opening day roster. I just don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, your outfielders as of right now are Melendez, Kyle Isbell, and Hunter Renfroe.
You need help. You need help, right? Now, yeah. I heard MJ's been knocking the cover off the ball in spring training, or not spring training, but in winter warm-up or whatever you want to call it. But again, you've got to do that on the field. You've got to produce when it matters most. And I think you and I are on the same page. I'd trade MJ to the Yankees because that's a perfect swing for him and see what you can get back in return from New York. Maybe you can trade him and get Giancarlo Stanton one up for MJ.
Am I? Huh? I didn't know. I'm reading Annie Rogers' article of MLB.com. She's the beat writer for the Royals. The Royals have Kevin Biggio?
Yeah, they signed him to a minor league deal.
Like, I must have been asleep when that happened.
Well, we were in the middle of football season.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that slipped.
So but he fell down the pecking order big time. Yeah. I'd love to see him rebound. It'd be great if we could see
that's another one. Like, his prospect, obviously being the son of Craig, was like through the roof.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And you could say the same about because they did Vlad Guerrero Jr., Kevin Biggio, and Bichette. Bichette and Guerrero had panned out, I think, to what they were. I think Bichette was probably supposed to be a little bit better than what they thought, but he's still got that superstar power that's there, just not fully there. And Guerrero's been fine.
Yeah.
Kevin Biggio. And then your starting rotation next year. Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, Michael Walker, Lorenzen, and Bubich.
Yeah, what about Kyle Wright? Like, the Bubich one, everybody's just sliding into the mix. Yeah, the guy who had Tommy John a year ago, but they traded him for him for this year.
He's still there.
He's still around. Like, I think he could earn a spot in the rotation. Alec Marsh is behind schedule, I saw this morning as well, which I don't like to hear that. And
I think he's just going to be your reliever guy.
Probably so. Yeah, but why is Bubich? Somebody got to explain that one to me. Maybe you have a good reason. Why is he getting, like, all of a sudden slotted into the rotation on that? Because I thought he was really good in the bullpen last year. Like, I thought he found kind of his.
You need a fifth starter.
But Kyle Wright could be that guy, right?
Yeah, but I think Bubich has earned it.
Okay. Maybe.
I mean, Bubich was a starter, got a loss of it because of Tommy John, came back, pitched an entire year in a bullpen situation where he had high leverage, which I think we all knew that he could possibly make the move. And then you made moves to your bullpen. So, like, in addition by subtraction, like, you went and got more closers and you added a fifth starter. Plus, I think Bubich is deserving to be that guy because your bullpen as right now is Marsh, Irsaeg, Estevez, Hunter Harvey, Chris Stratton, John Schreiber.
Who's banged up too right now.
Angel Zerpa, Sam Long.
Yeah. Who's the general? Who's the guy that was the general last year? That's the guy who's banged up right now. MacArthur.
Yeah, James MacArthur, Evan Sisk, and Steven Cruz, as well as the pitchers building up his starters in the camp, so that could be there. There's also Carlos Hernandez, who also has options as well. But again, like, I don't know. Yeah, you need an outfield bat.
Yeah.
Do I go trade for one? I don't know. Do I let the regulars? Because the infield's set. I mean, Michael Garcia's playing third base, but India's at second, Bobby's at short, Vinny's at first, Sal's catching.
Like, and it's not for lack of effort. I mean, they tried to sign Santander, and it didn't work out.
He's supposed to go play, and where career's going to die.
Yeah, Toronto, I mean, the Royals made a nice offer to Santander, and he took the one in Toronto, so be it. So it's not because of lack of effort. It's just they've been out there. They're looking for that outfield bat. It just has to happen, right? It's just like you just have to say, I guess, hope that you find that bat. Or, you know, MJ Melendez steps up his game to another level, and then that's where they need to go, right? I mean, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be amazing if that happened.
Amazing.
Yeah. Boomer Sports Takes. Mine came to very much fruition last night watching a certain sport. So we'll get into those. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, coasting through Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan. It is Fesco and Dusty and Mac with you. Dusty always says at the end of the show, do nice things for people. Mm-hmm. And I want to share a story of some nice things that were done for us yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I think it's pretty good to share when people actually do something nice, because a lot of the times it's very rare. My wife left her ear pods at the hotel in New Orleans, right?
Yep,
and she left the room 9:45 to get into the Uber to get back to the airport at 10 o'clock with us. And at 10:15, she called the hotel and said, oh, my God, I left my my ear pods there. And they said, what room? Told her, oh, they're not there. There's nothing we can do. Well, the fact of the matter is my wife could ping her ear pods and find out where they were. And she found the address of where they were sitting. Happened to be somebody that worked at the hotel. Ipso facto, after hours of having conversations, the Hilton Riverside down in New Orleans sent her a $250 Apple gift card to replace those headphones. And I mean, they were wonderful down there. And so you got to give
fantastic.
A tip. Yeah, I mean, you got to give a tip of the cap,
seriously,
because it would have been really easy to say, sorry, there's nothing we can do. Yep. And they probably would have done that about 10 years ago if you left something. But now the fact that you can ping these things and find out exactly where they are and send the address, well, you had no choice but to say. And the maid claimed she thought they were hers, you know. She had a pair very similar to that. She thought they were hers that were sitting there and whatnot. And so the Hilton Riverside down in New Orleans, thank you very much for being nice and doing the right thing.
That's
like it would have been really easy to say, sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. Your fault, which it would have been for leaving them, right? That's on you for leaving them. But they handled that situation beautifully. And so it's really cool to actually get somebody in customer service that cares about the customer. Yeah. And so like I was excited about this yesterday that they did the right thing and they took care of it. And had she left them and they were thrown away, fine, whatever. But the fact that they were sitting at the lady's apartment complex and she knew exactly where they were, could send the screenshots and all that kind of stuff. They're like, yeah, there's nothing we can do here. Here's $250 for a new pair.
It just sucks because like now that person has headphones and probably still has a job and didn't have to pay for the gift card.
Yeah, and then you have that too. So I deducted from her check.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd definitely just fire.
Yeah, I mean, you're stealing.
One is a. I mean, you're very friendly with somebody who just fired someone for stealing from their job.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Like I know we were probably friends. It was 6 years. Like true story. At one of my jobs, we had a bartender who was like so well trusted from our general manager that he would just give her the keys to like do her stuff that she needed to do her checkout and all that. And then we found out that she was using those keys to discount people's meals and then use their gift cards and then closing out with cash. And that was a girl that was like had been at that establishment for like 8-9 years.
Doesn't matter if you're a thief. GM, you're a thief.
And
yeah.
It was more like on the GM. He's like, I now know can no longer trust anyone that works here. Damn. One person
ruins it for everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So like, you cut your price is way too high. You need to cut it. Great song. I had a boomer take last night. College basketball is way too long.
Love it.
And I don't know if that's a boomer take.
Oh, that's been my take for a long time.
Okay, so it's a boomer take.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Exactly. But I had this before.
I'm just going by ages.
Yeah, no, I don't know that I'm in the boomer generation, but...
I think it's like 60s.
60,
yeah.
It's like my parents, you know. But no, I think you're right about that. Men's college basketball sucks. Yeah. And the last two, I can't watch it because the last 2 minutes are unwatchable. It's been that way for years now. And everybody else's quarters.
Right. Well, I was watching the SEC Network last night because Mizzou played at 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Another thing with basketball.
8:21.
Exactly.
Is when coverage started on the SEC Network.
It's been this way for years. Like when KU would play Big Monday and games would start at like 8:20 and you'd miss the
Plus.
Yeah. But even like back in the day, there wasn't that. Like
no, just a bottom scroll.
Scroll or a little box in the bottom because some Big East game went long and everybody's in a foul fest in a 13-point game with 37 seconds left.
And what's terrible is that like now the trendy thing to do in college sports, which maybe it's in the NBA too, I think it is. Is that when you're up 3, you foul.
Mm-hmm.
So then they go shoot 2 free throws. Guess what? They make them both. They then foul again. Yep. You shoot free throws, then you foul.
So bad.
They shoot. That's with like 40 seconds left.
It's awful.
I was an old man pissed off last night in a robe and in house slippers sipping, going, this is just too long.
Lasted a day. Huh?
Man, 2 days. 2 days. And I was like, who in the world is going to go to SEC N Plus, let alone who's got SEC Network Plus? Like, diehards in the SEC.
Where do you even find the SEC Network these days?
Channel like, 383.
I think it's, I mean, I've come across it before, but how many people have that? Because don't you actually have to have cable or something to have the SEC Network? Like, I don't know if it streams because I don't really care. It's not something I'm looking for at any time. But, no, I'm with you, man. Like, think about back in the day when Josh used to do postgame for KU, and there'd be, like, 2 minutes left, and it's, like, 7:30, and then the game ends at 9. You know, like, it's just dramatically long. It's terrible. I don't know why men's college basketball doesn't change their ways.
Gotta change.
I mean, the NBA has quarters, and they're talking about eliminating 2 minutes in each quarter to move the game along.
Women's college basketball
has quarters, and it's so much better because the fouls reset after
high
each quarter.
Quarters.
High school, the only one, the international basketball. Yes. And that's why watching the Olympics was so great because it was 10-minute quarters, and it moved, and it was done, and it
James
was fun.
James Naismith is rolling in his grave that we have not changed the rule. It's like the founding fathers. They're like, wait a minute.
You haven't edited the Constitution?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, this was
we
done.
We wrote that in 1775.
You got to evolve. Yeah. No, it's true. Like, evolve. And but for whatever reason,
we said that. There weren't cars.
I mean, men's college basketball refuses.
Oh, it's brutal.
And it is the worst thing. And it's a big reason. Yeah. Like, it's one of the things for me that started to knock me out of enjoying college basketball. Like, I can't watch the end of these games anymore. They're absolutely dog crap. And I don't know why they continue to do this, because I don't think your take is unique or my take on it. I think most college basketball fans would tell you it's ass and it's just an unwatchable product for most of it.
Well, I just felt like an old man last night.
Well,
like,
I mean,
the games are too long. Well, see,
the games are too long because they make them 10. Too long. Yeah. They make them too long. They force you to sit there and watch this stuff at the end.
And God forbid it's a 1-point game with a minute left.
Oh, yeah, you're screwed.
That's 25 minutes.
Oh, it's an hour at best. But you
anyways,
know, my old man take and old boomer sports take is me. The 3-point line in college basketball needs to go because the guys, they're not good. They're not good shooters at all. And all they do is launch three after three. The game sucks. Or college basketball is absolutely pathetic to watch. It's a bunch of tall dudes taking 3-point shots that can't shoot. It is absolutely disgusting. It is like the worst sport on earth for me.
Have you watched Cooper Flagg yet?
No.
He might change your opinion on basketball.
That's one guy, though.
What Zion Williamson did to a lot of people in college basketball.
I watched him in play for Duke. He blew out his shoe, and I never saw him again,
I watched John Wall at Kentucky because it was one guy. I mean, that's what college basketball is, though. It was one girl.
Yeah.
It was Caitlin Clark. And you watched.
Yeah, you watched. Yeah.
Cooper Flagg is absolutely starting to make that sort of jump.
Is he going to the NBA next year then?
Yeah.
Unless Duke pays him,
basketball, you make a ton of money. He'll be the number one overall pick.
Yeah. Well, good. Good for him. Yeah. I mean, congratulations.
But he might give you some
if Duke's on big money, like they were on last night, he had a high riser dunk that was insane, dude. And he's scoring like 26 a night and putting up like 26 and 10.
But you got to watch this, like Hunter Mickelson over at KU blast 3-point shots and then
he's just not good.
Right now, he's like the Dan Hurley of players.
He wishes.
Yeah, I mean, he's the Dan Hurley of players. You know, you do a lot of talking and not a lot of playing. Dan Hurley's actually
somebody
won.
Says on the text line, did you guys realize college men's basketball is the only group that still has a 1-1 free throw?
Yeah.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's the only one with bonus.
1-1. 1-1.
Is it really?
Until you get 3 more fouls and really learn your lesson.
No, hang on a second. I'm trying to think. Like, I think middle school does a 1-1 bonus.
Do they?
My comparison is college basketball is doing what middle school basketball is doing.
Woofta.
That's rough.
Like I didn't know that it was 1-1. I thought everybody, kind of did that 1-1.
No, bonus, double bonus, that's college.
That's all college.
Gen Z plans to spend the most for Valentine's Day. That's a headline on the news. Anyways, Mac, what's your boomer take?
I don't know if this is boomer either.
Valentine's Day is overrated.
well, it is.
12 teams in NFL playoffs is better, so is 16 games.
Oh, you want less.
Yes.
You're not going to get it. You're going to get 18, and you're going to get 16, probably.
Yeah. In fact, this will be Super Bowl week in about 2 years.
In 2 years. That's exactly right. Yeah, it is, and that's what's going to happen. It's going to 18.
Valentine's Day, then the Super Bowl.
Right.
The pendulum will swing too far. They will overcorrect too much, and they'll have to come back.
You think that's what's going to happen?
There will be a day where the NFL becomes stale.
Well,
I don't know if we'll be alive.
I'll tell you when it is. I know exactly when it's going to be. It's going to be when they take the games off of network television.
Yep, and we're getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
And that's in the next 20 years.
Yeah.
And once they do that, that's the golden goose right there. That's why the NFL is popular, because if you're a Chiefs fan in Kansas City, if you have a television, you don't have to spend any money to consume your team's game. They are all over-the-air free games. Once they get away from that, they're bred. Look at baseball. Look at basketball. Look at all these things with this streaming stuff. Like, the NFL needs to be watching this right now and realizing the reason they are popular is because they're giving the product to their fans. And the minute they take that away, it's going to be over for the NFL.
Yeah, you're not invincible.
Yep. You're not.
Nope. From the 913, the same number. Nope, they don't even do 1-1 in their middle schools.
Wow.
No. Okay.
And then from the 620, middle school is 2 free throws, and that's only at 5 team fouls.
Yeah.
And 2 free throws.
That's right. I know, but I'm just trying to think.
You need to get your ass back in the gym.
Yeah. I need to pay more attention to the middle school basketball.
Seriously,
so,
Bob.
I mean, my God, but college basketball, reset yourself, man. I've been talking about this for years. Like, reset yourself, man.
Holy
Change
cow.
Your game.
Speaking of resetting, are we sure the owner was 100% right? We'll play some audio on the other side that kind of might
neglect that. I don't know if it neglects or negates it. So we'll talk about that here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5.
Well, Missouri.